Eastern Shore Poultry.
Good morning. First of all, please bear with me. I'm losing my voice today, so that may be a good thing. I don't know. The first item is a lease amendment with Eastern Shore Poultry in the industrial park. In researching or trying to establish lot lines for the lot next to Eastern Shore, we discovered something in the Eastern Shore lease that had been kind of forgotten about, and that was that Eastern Shore was supposed to have the lot surveyed and then present that survey to us, and that would become the new lot line for that property. That was actually done back at the beginning of the lease. It was just never transmitted to us, so now it has been, and in accordance to the lease, which says the council would agree to amend the lease, we're at that point now of changing the actual acreage in the lease. And if you remember, we did kind of the same thing with Deltek's power plant facility in that lease. The total acreage drops by about 0.8 of an acre, and the rent per year would be about $1,000 less based on that. But I have a motion unless you have any questions.
Read your motion, sir. We'll see.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council authorizes the council president to execute the addendum to the commercial lease for lot 26 at the Sussex County Industrial Park with Eastern Shore Poultry Incorporated as presented.
So moved.
Second. Motion, Mr. Cole. What? Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions?
What do they do there?
It's a deboning operation.
Uh-huh.
They take chicken parts that you buy in the store and take the bones out for several customers. Eastern Shore is actually our largest employer in the industrial park.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And doesn't present any problems for the other tenants.
Yeah, they've been there a heck of a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any more questions, Mr. Jenkins?
No.
Take the vote, Mr. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
How about yes, motion carried. Next, sir.
The second item is a new lease with Georgetown Air Services. This is something that we've been trying to do since 2007 when Garrett Dunoga took over the business. And Garrett is here today in case you have any questions for him. But we've tried to consolidate. Right now he's got two leases. One we call the FBO lease, the fixed base operator lease, which covers the fuel farm, the old terminal building, a little land around that. And then the office lease, which is the office space in the new terminal building that he operates his business out of. When the leases were written, or the FBO lease was written in 1998, things were a lot different at the airport. The lease was written for those kind of conditions. The airport was being operated out of the old terminal building. The county owned the fuel farm at the time. The FBO, fixed base operator, was responsible for a lot of things that the county does now. Things like if the county had contracted for snow removal, according to the lease, the FBO would pay for half the cost. You know, things like that we've never done. It's in the lease. The lease has a list of activities that he must do. It's not optional. Things like an air charter service, operating a restaurant, which he obviously doesn't do and probably would never want to do. There's another clause in the lease that if the county were to install a runway, taxiway, and an apron, and the FAA is not involved with that, that we would have to negotiate that project with the FBO. So that would include things like the next 500-foot extension, which the FAA is not going to be involved with. According to the lease, we would have to negotiate that whole project with the FBO. So the goal with all this was to, you know, bring all those leases up to date, combine them into one lease that reflects what we're actually doing out there today.
This new version doesn't tie our hands in any way the county point of view.
No, it doesn't. It takes a lot of those things out.
Our hands were tied when you just talked about that extension that the FBO, that we could only deal with them and we couldn't go out and get other people, possibly. But anyway, we're not cornered in some of these areas, are we?
No. And what we've done is we've kept all of the requirements that, we haven't added any new requirements. We've taken out the requirements that didn't make sense. There is one new term, and that was to set the operating hours to match the minimum standards policy that you adopted a couple of years ago, to being 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, instead of, I think it was 10 or 12 hours a day, 7 days a week.
What do we operate now?
I think it's 10 hours, 8 to 6. The term of this lease, the initial term would end at the same time that the FBO lease would end with all its options, which would be in 2023. And then we added 2 5-year options, which the county has a say in on top of that. There's no change to the rent. One of the last amendments we did changed how we compute the rent for the FBO based on fuel sales. And then it just combines all the other leases that have different paragraphs and different ways of computing rent. There's the basic rent, a place called additional rent, the office rent. We put that all into this one master lease.
Are we taking in less money with the rent?
Well, right now we are, because fuel sales are down because our main runway is closed. And that was the purpose of doing that was, you know, we're doing things that hurt his sales, but, you know, we're still charging him the same amount of rent. So that was the fourth amendment to his lease that was already approved. And this lease just takes everything that's already been approved and puts it into one document. But I think overall it benefits us. Because it solidifies our relationship with a very good tenant who's shown a willingness to invest in the airport, and it gives him a chance to plan, knowing that he's got a long-term arrangement with the county.
And how long is the term?
2023. 9 years. And then 2 5-year options, so 2033. Just as a reminder, he used to have three leases. One was for Sussex Aero Maintenance when he owned that. County Council, the previous council had amended that lease to extend that to 2038. this is actually shorter than another lease with Georgetown Air Services that the council had approved.
I assume you reviewed this lease, have you, or you wrote the lease or whatever, I guess.
I'm not sure. I was just sending an email to Mr. Sharp in my office. He reviews all the leases.
Yes.
Had he looked at this lease?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Several times.
But you guys only review them just to make sure they're perfect and that, the legalese is perfect. That, you're not really
right.
Looking at the terms and if they favor one party or the other.
No,
Mr.
Do,
Lawson ought to be,
that.
Todd, you ought to be looking at those points with Mr. Hicken.
Right.
Yes.
I'm looking from the county point of view on this whole negotiation.
And
are
we have.
At an advantage, a disadvantage, or we, you know, or where are we in the thing? So.
Well, this is a fair negotiation with a very good tenant, and
okay, I understand all that, right.
If he's successful, we're successful. And in situations like this, where the runway is shut down, he's not harmed as much. So I think it's a fair gesture by us.
And as I said, all we're doing is combining the agreement that we already have, and we've taken out the things that don't make sense that we haven't done anyway, you know, things like the restaurant and, you know, negotiating pavement construction with them.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions, Council? I guess I got one question. I'm sure you figured this out, but hearing what you just said, I guess you've calculated up how much money he owes us on half the snow removals of 1998.
Mm-hmm.
As in the lease.
So we'll have to work on that one.
Oh, okay. I'm just checking. I mean,
when will the main runway be back open?
May 16th.
Does that automatically go back up then?
Sorry?
The fuel sales would go, yeah.
The fuel sales go back up and the rent goes back up then?
I hope so.
They would hope so.
Way up. Way up.
I have a motion if you're ready.
Yep.
Sure, read your motion.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council authorizes the Council President to execute the commercial lease agreement with Georgetown Air Services, LLC, as presented.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Dever. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Dever?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I have a yes, motion carries. Thank you, sir. Jewel Gibbons, Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility Expansion Phase 2B, Contract 12-17, Amendment Number 1. Shoo. Good morning.
Good morning. The item before you is a contract amendment to provide construction administration and inspection services for the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility Expansion Phase 2B project. The major work to be performed under this project involves sludge handling improvements, which moves the county a step closer to producing a Class A sludge at this facility. Construction is expected to last a year, and Whitman, Reckhart, and Associates would be responsible for, among other things, review of shop drawings, samples, and other submittals for conformance with contract documents, electrical and controls coordination, specialized inspections, etc. The fee for this work is not to exceed $278,218.
Mm-hmm. But the main purpose of this is, can you, real short.
The main purpose of
you're doing now.
Of the work.
Yes,
this
of
is,
this, uh-huh. yes. this presentation.
This is part of the improvements mm-hmm. to the facility, mm-hmm. which would move us to producing a Class A sludge, similar to what we do at
the
South Coast. So
that's the part that's
wastewater facility.
That I think it's great. I think I really do.
More questions, Ms. Gibbons?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
How much is the total project?
The total project is $3,017,258. That includes a $2 million grant that we received from the USDA for the pre-purchase of equipment, which will be installed under this expansion phase.
And the fee for
this
oversight of the design?
$278,218, which is about 7-8% of the total contract.
7-8 or closer to 9?
I could be off by a percentage point or so, but
I guess 9% seems like an awful lot for.
No, that is actually within the acceptable range for these services based on the contract totals.
I've been told here by our county engineer that it was closer to 6%, 7%.
We normally operate within the range of 7-8%, and I think this is within that range.
How many people does it serve?
I'm sorry?
How many people are you serving?
This facility currently.
A building, I should say, houses.
I don't have the exact number of EDUs that are served, but I can tell you that this is a major facility which serves many different sewer districts.
I should hope so for 300.
It's a growing area.
Yes.
And really 3 growing. Million.
Yeah.
300 some million dollars.
3 million, 7.
I did 9%.
I got 9.2%. We have the ability to go back and renegotiate with our consultant at over 9%. I think maybe it would be appropriate this time.
Too much money, isn't it?
Do we have a meeting scheduled for next week, Mr. Lawson?
Yes.
Oops.
And I think we were told they were not able to begin work until sometime in May.
The notice to proceed for this project was given on April 21.
But the contractor said they were not able to begin until
they have started some mobilization, but
the work
major work will begin in the second week of May.
Right.
So the concern is what now? Paying
a consultant over 9% of the cost of the project to consult.
Just about Whitman Reckhart again.
As it was said, it's typically 7%, maybe 8%. At the most, I've heard Mr. Izzo talk about 6%.
Mr. Izzo in the building? Sure, come forward, please, sir.
Yeah, I'm sure that, I mean, it's...
With the all construction administration and inspection projects, the amount of money spent is obviously a function of the amount of time that the contractor is afforded to perform the contract. This contract is 365 days. So while there are often some guidelines as to the percentage of inspection fees as related to the contractor's total cost to perform the work, in this case saying 7 to 9%, the real function is the amount of time. And again, it's a one-year contract. What the consultant will be providing us is an average amount of time that he will spend on site. And it's in the range of, say, 20 hours. That number may be less. We'll monitor the contract such to not exceed these numbers, with the understanding we'll supplement as necessary with a county employee to keep these costs down. When we feel we need this consultant to be there, personally be there, we'll authorize it to not exceed those numbers. But it is expected that, again, depending on what activity is going on, the specialized nature of the work, we may or may not need that consultant there.
So we're not going to automatically give them 9%?
No.
That is the estimate at this point. So it could come in because of the way you guys do things in your department, controlling costs. It could come in less. But
we're
now
certainly
they've estimated on the project and the scope of work and everything to be in that range.
Right. There's two functions here, inspection, as Jewel said, and the other administration portion, that's reviewing all the shop drawings and things like that. That part is pretty fixed. There's a certain amount of shop drawings. They take a certain amount of time to review. It's the inspection portion, which, again, you don't know exactly if the contractor, is he going to take the entire 365 days. If he were to take less time to complete the work, which we'd be hopeful of, then, of course, our inspection fees would likewise go down.
Are there any circumstances in this project that would tell you he may complete this earlier than the 365 days?
As the project progresses, we get construction schedules. So as the work progresses, we are able to see what exactly will be done from week to week, and we have a better idea where we can forecast exactly what will go on, say, for the week, during the month, et cetera.
But Mr. Wright, are there any circumstances on this particular contract that would tell you that he may finish this job or at least be motivated to finish this job much sooner than the 365 days?
I can't say I'm aware of any particular item of work where he has identified or we've identified would be completed earlier, but I'd say that in general, this contractor or any contractor, if they want to make more money, they're going to finish the job earlier. So it's certainly to his advantage to complete the project as soon as possible.
When does the money from the federal government have to be spent?
There is some remaining monies that need to be spent
by
September. We won't utilize all those funds. These are some older funds,
right,
for this contract.
The $2 million grant that we got from the USDA, that was used to pre-purchase equipment that is going to be installed under this project. So that's already been appropriated and expended.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hear nothing here that tells me 9.2% is a reasonable number. Every contract has, you know, timelines, I would say, similar to this. And, you know, if you're saying that Mr. Cole does make a good point, they could come in under, but why even put a number down if you're just going to say, well, maybe they'll come under it?
If I can speak to the percentage, it doesn't work on this project strictly because we have a construction bid of $3.1 million, plus we have about another $1 million of equipment that was purchased under the previous contract that's going to be installed. So that equipment is sitting on site, but the contractor still has to do that work, and our construction inspection agent, Whitman Reckwart, still has to inspect that work, even though that equipment was bought on a previous contract. So that's why you can't look at it as it on a straight percentage calculation on this particular contract. You would have to add that extra $1 million of equipment in, making it $4.1 million. Then you can do your percentage, and you would be down in that 7% range if you want to look at it on a percentage basis.
Who did the design on this?
Whitman Record was the lead with GHD as a subconsultant.
So Whitman does the shop drawings, and Whitman oversees the shop drawings and inspects
it? No, the contractor compiles the shop drawings and submits them for review.
By Whitman?
Or GHD in some cases. And we also do an internal review.
Was this project value engineered as of all projects of this size being valued engineer in certain meetings?
Yeah, correct. We actually did an internal value engineering, and we also met with the if you remember, we opened up bids last June, and then we met with the contractors that bid, and we got comments back from them. And to me, that's always the best value engineering of all the information that you get feedback from a contractor. We also did our own internal value engineering.
Well, value engineering is best when someone from the outside comes in that is not vested. It's certainly admirable that you reviewed everything. I would hope you would do that on all projects. But I guess that's all I have.
More questions of council? You have a motion, ma'am?
Yes. Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council authorizes its president to execute Contract Amendment 1 with Whitman Record and Associates LLC of Baltimore, Maryland, to provide construction, administration, and project inspection services for Project 12-17, Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility Expansion Phase 2B, at a cost not to exceed $278,218.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second. Mrs. Deaver, any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
No, $278,000 for consulting on a $3 million project is far in excess of what traditionally we look to spend on consulting fees, which in my opinion is traditionally in excess of what it should be. I think the $1 million in equipment that Mr. Izzo introduced to the discussion at the end was an attempt to justify it, but we have a $3.017 million contract in front of us and a $278,000 bill for consulting. I just think that is far in excess of what this county should be paying.
Mr. Wilson.
I've added a lot of figures here, and I can't come up with the same number twice. I got $365,000 gone to the what's your name?
Whitman.
Hard to heart. Is that right?
365.
Yeah, I got 360 at 9%. I understand you got 4.1 million, right? Isn't that what you said it was going to cost?
The fee from Whitman is $278,218.
Yeah, well, evidently we did on $3 million. I don't know where did $4.1 million come from?
That is taken into account the equipment that was purchased prior to.
And there's no 9% on that, no percentage on that, right?
No, that would be tied into the contract, so that would be part of the contract. It's just that the equipment was purchased ahead of time.
Okay. I'll vote yes.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bill, was not here. You vote, I'm sorry.
Yes.
You vote yes? I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you. Grant request, Mrs. Jennings, you are up.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of Council, I have five grants for your consideration. The first one is Girl Scout Troop 1482, based in Lewis. They're requesting support for their Odyssey of the Mind team. The team will be among 34 teams from Delaware going to the OM World Finals in Iowa. There's no specific amount requested. A similar grant of $500 was given by Ms. Deaver to another Girl Scout troop.
I would give $500 to this out of my account.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips, to grant $500 to Mrs. Deaver's account for a Girl Scouts of Chesapeake Bay Council Girl Scout Troop 1482 for trip expenses. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
The next one is the Seaford Historical Society. They're requesting support for their town and country fair. There's no specific amount requested, and there have been no past grants for this event. Last grant given to this organization was $2,000 by Mr. Vincent.
So make a motion to grant $500 from my account.
I'll do it.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second. Mr. Wilson, to grant $500 from my council bank account to Seaford Historical Society for their town and country fair this May. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And next one is City of Seaford's requesting support for their annual community night out against crime and drugs. The purpose of this event is to bring police and citizens together to show their support against crime and drugs in the community. There is no specific amount requested. Last grant received was $500 from Mr. Vincent.
I make that motion.
So
motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Phillips, to grant $500 from my councilmatic account to City of Seaford for the annual community night out against crime and drugs. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And the next one is Laurel Independence Day Committee. They're requesting support for the Laurel Fireworks Celebration. Last grant received was $1,000, which was $500 from Mr. Vincent and $500 from Mr. Phillips.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson, to grant $1,000 to the Laurel Independence Day Committee for fireworks, being $500 from Mr. Phillips' council bank account and $500 from my council bank account. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Coverdale Crossroads Community Council is requesting financial assistance so their organization can continue to cover costs associated with their summer enrichment, cultural program, and after-school programs. Their organization's goal is to improve the conditions in which low-income people live. They are requesting $1,487. The last grant was from Mr. Wilson. Do you want to give them?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Do the same.
Second.
The 1487?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Phillips, to grant $1,487 to Coverdale Crossroads Community Council property expenses.
Wait, was that wasn't $1,000 last time, was it?
It was.
What your request was.
Yeah, $672 was last time. They're requesting $1,487.
$672.
Okay. Is what you want to give them?
Let's back up. We have a motion for $672 and you $700 even. Yeah. And Mr. Phillips, you'll amend your second on that. You're okay with that?
Yeah, if it's okay with Mr. Wilson, I'll give $300. I'll give $300.
Okay. We have a motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Phillips, to grant $1,000 to Coverdale Crossroads Community Council, being $700 Mr. Phillips' council bank account and $300 Mr. Phillips' council bank account. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Proposed zoning ordinance introduction, Mr. Moore.
Yes, we have several, Mr. President. The first is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a medical office center to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 2.3522 acres, more or less, tax map ID 235-16-64, and that's District 3.
I'll introduce it.
Mrs. Deaver introduces it.
The next one is an ordinance to modify condition number 10C imposed on ordinance number 2180 for change of zone number 1697, the application of Peninsula at Long Neck LLC for the Peninsula and a MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community to extend the time to construct and open for use the golf clubhouse facility. And that is district number 4.
I'll introduce it.
Steven introduces it.
Okay, the next is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 114.4821 acres, more or less, and that is district number 3.
I'll introduce that.
Mr. Deaver introduces it.
And an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MRRPC medium density residential district residential plan community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 5.00 acres, more or less, and that is District Number 3.
I'll introduce that.
Steve, introduce it.
Okay, and the last one, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a B1 neighborhood business district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 0.52 acres, more or less, and that is District Number 5.
I'll introduce
it. Mr. Phillips introduces it.
And that is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. This will be brought before council. Mr. Guy. Tim Snyder?
That was the attorney for personnel ordinance.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Dan Kramer?
My name is Dan Kramer. Got three things. Must be produce season. Because you go out the roads and you see all the illegal signs put up, so when are you going to send your guys out and get them removed? Right high time you get them removed. Because if you allow them to start, they're going to keep on going all summer. And the second thing is, I just read this bill concerning the ambulance charges. Now, I'll tell you what, I would advise somebody to really look at that thing close, because I don't see one word about the county in it at all. It says health stuff, but it doesn't say one word about the county that I can find.
Second,
so I don't think it even interferes, applies to the county. But here's what I got for you. The next time you guys all take off, when you say we don't have nothing to discuss, dock your pay.
$300 per meeting.
Exactly.
I'm with you on that.
I have some questions, kind of general questions, if it's appropriate at this time.
Mrs. Deaver.
A couple of things that I've been wondering is, you know, we've gotten complaints about buildings on the road in particular, off the road that are very run down and collapsed and whatnot. And I'm wondering what kind of help we have available in our budget, if anything, to take down some of these buildings. I'd like to be brought up to date on that at a later time. The other thing is that I remember that the planner who put together our land use plan recommended that we take our B1 district and separate it into at least two uses. We also have the CR1, which has so many, many uses. And I would like to get your opinion on looking at those two zonings and seeing if we could make it a little bit more definite what we're doing when we zone a B1 or a CR1. I believe CR1 may have, if you read it all, as many as 50 different uses, and it's kind of a grab bag. And the third thing I don't understand is, why is Route 9 considered an arterial, major arterial road? Route 24 is not. 13 is, 1 is, 113. I'm just curious. I don't know, not being a planner, though. So I'd like to get answers to some of these and... Okay.
Could I suggest that we contact our land use planner at URS, I believe it is, Urban Research and Developers, and bring them down and look at those issues. I agree. We can possibly divide that B1 district into two. That would give us a better understanding of what may ultimately go in that zone.
Okay. Anything else from council?
Thank you.
We'll entertain a motion to go into executive session for job applicants' qualifications, personnel, and pending potential litigation.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Phillips. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on a motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carries.